insult. We see in our hearts the desire to get even. What we see, Lord, we know that you desire better. So help us today as we walk our way through this subject. Help us to see and know what you want us to do as a result for what we will learn today. And we thank you for this, your holy word. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Every year now, I'm required to get a checkup with a blood test in order to keep the meds that I've been on for a little while. Some of you do the same. The test that I'm given a sheet back from that test, and it records a lot of numbers. Doctors like to see these numbers, and they like to see certain numbers high, and they like to see certain numbers low. Occasionally, in a checkup, the doctor will look at the numbers and he'll say, "This doesn't look right." And then you'll have to go down and get another, which is torture for some of us, blood test to confirm that those numbers were actually right. Sometimes there's a surprise in that second blood test that something's not right. And even though I don't feel anything has changed or anything is going on, the numbers don't lie. Sometimes we think we're in better health than what we really are, and the doctor really looks at those numbers, and it turns out he becomes really concerned about them. You know, the church is the same way. As a church, God is our physician. His desire is for us to have good numbers. All the things that I've been talking to you about for these few weeks, the things that God has given his church, these 22 commands, just think of those as numbers, as things that reveal what kind of Christian I am or what kind of church we are. God wants a healthy body. He wants a healthy church. And he wants each one of us in our contribution of our attendance here and our participation here, he wants us to be growing and getting better at some things, getting healthier. So when we started this look of these 22 things in verse 11, we talked about the first two being encouragement and edification. How God wants us to be encouraging each other. And I sure hope that you are doing this. Sure seems like you are. This edification process of building each other up and growing and learning, and you're coming to Sunday school, many of you, and learning and growing there and in other places of service like Awana and Children's Church and all of that. This edification, this building process is ongoing. And then the next three that we looked at basically is your response to us. You are to appreciate us, what we do. And the word appreciate, it's a word that means to know the extent of the work and to appreciate it. Then you're told, you're commanded to esteem and love us because of our work, not because of any personal quality or not because of any particular thing, but because of the work that God has called us to do. And then, fifthly, to live in peace with us and us with you as a church should. Always breaks my heart to hear when churches and pastors don't get along. And this happens maybe more than you know. A lot of you have been here a long time, just like I have been, and you don't know really what's out there, but I hear it and I see it. And it breaks my heart to know that fellowships can be so fractured this way. And then last time, we looked at four more things. In the verse, we are to admonish each other. It means a gentle warning, a gentle caution. And as I said to you, whenever you notice that someone who's a regular attender here is not coming, do we care enough? And it's not just the pastor's job to make the call, is it? This is for all of us. We're all of us to do this. And sometimes that is a really big help. Sometimes people say, well, no one ever called. Well, shame on us for not following through with that. And then the seventh one was to encourage the faint-hearted. The word faint-hearted, literally the Greek term means to have a small soul, to be small-souled. The idea is being discouraged. When you just can't seem to something has really got you and you just can't seem to get through it, you need us and we need you to come alongside. And if you notice in someone's demeanor that they're discouraged, it'd just be a great thing to find out why. That's what the church is here for. Number 8 was to help the weak. I believe that particular expression, the weak, has to do not necessarily with the physically weak, but people who struggle with certain sins of flesh and spirit. I think that we're to come alongside, rather than with our most holy or righteous judgment, that we're to come alongside and help and be a help. Not that we don't continually to preach the word of God and speak the truth in love, but yet, as a church, we are to come alongside and to help each other get through things. And then number 9 was to be patient with everyone. Now, these 9 things are like that chart. How are you doing with these 9 things? Because there are more things to follow, and I certainly want you to really look in your heart and think about where you are in all of this list. And if I haven't got to you on any of them yet, I'm going to nail you on this next one, I assure you. Because there are many of us in this room, I believe, and I will probably join the list or lead the list. This is a real weak issue in my life where if I'm mistreated or if I'm not treated fairly or if someone does something against me, it's very, very difficult for me to not want to kind of, I'm very sophisticated at it, but to get back, to get even, to settle the score. And that's what we're looking at in this number 10 of this list in verse number 15. He says, and this is in a command, see to it. And he's talking to the whole church, not to any one particular individual, but see to it. No one repays another with evil for evil. In another place it says, or insult for insult. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Now this same thought is expressed 3 times in the New Testament. Go back with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And to this church, the apostle wrote this. And by the way, we're talking about church members returning evil to other church members. Church members giving insults to pay back the insult which they were insulted with. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica and now to the church at Rome. But in chapter 12 and verse 17, he says it this way. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never, he says, take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We have this expression, leave it, in our home. And we have a dog that loves to chase the tennis ball. Some of you have it too. But when we put a firm hand up and say, leave it, he'll just drop his head and he'll drop the ball and it hurts his feelings. I mean, he just doesn't want to leave it. But that's what God is saying to us about this very issue of thinking about how we can settle the score. God is saying, leave it. And he calls this, by the way, it's not the only time you're going to hear him say that, but getting revenge is evil. It's wickedness. And it is something that we need to call it for exactly what it is. And that's exactly what it is. And Satan knows this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. And listen to these words as Peter writes about this, starting with verse 8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those, here it is, who do evil. It is an evil practice to try and get revenge, to try and give back, tit for tat, to do exactly what that person did to you. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is where the origin of this expression comes from. And they're all over the book of Proverbs, beginning in chapter 20. Let me just read a couple of them for you. And you can see the idea from this wise king who wrote these Proverbs for us. Verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 20. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Chapter 24 and verse number 29. Here the proverb says, do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Chapter 25 and verse number 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You say, what in the world does that mean? Burning coals on the top of his head. And the book of Romans, Paul also alludes to this. I'm told it was an Egyptian custom. And in this particular custom, a person, when they wanted to show that they were really repentant of something they had said or done, would put hot coals in a container and walk around with them on top of his head. Everybody would see that this man really felt ashamed for what he had said or done. And when you give kindness to someone who deserves your judgment, you're indeed making them ashamed for how they have treated you. And that's what this is supposed to accomplish for us. Now, this is actually the opposite of number 9, of being patient with everyone. This is the exact opposite, where when you're not patient with everyone, you're looking for ways to even the score. Quid pro quo. This for that. You do this to me, I'm going to do this for you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Confucius wrote these words. Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig 2 graves. And that's exactly what it does when in your heart you're thinking about how you can settle the score, how you can just, do this or not do this or in some way. And in so doing that, we're participating in something that God calls evil. And that's the real reason that we're not to retaliate. Now, I've never thought about this way. Except this week, as I thought about, if you take revenge on someone and you're going to give them back at least what they did to you to that degree, you're actually stealing from God. I want you to think about this. It is taking what belongs exclusively to God, because he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So when we do that very thing, we are stealing this from God, using it for our own sinful pleasure. And it does feel good to get even. and in the very core of our wickedness. Sometimes we don't want to adjust to what God has given us to make us healthy and make us to be a healthy church. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 is something that I think about. Verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." And sometimes our failure to take God's word at face value. God says this particular thing is evil. Therefore, I should guard my heart and guard my thoughts. And when that thing happens, when that neighbor encroaches on your property line, when something else happens, and rather than just seeking and planning and scheming ways to have your day in court, perhaps you should just have faith in God's word to say, "God, I'm sorry I've taken that before. That's yours. I will not take what you have called for yourself, and I will trust you." Now, it doesn't mean that we don't need legal advice sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't stand up on what the legal statute is. That's our right, and we do that. But the idea is having the heart of getting even, the heart of going after someone, and that's an evil. But there's more in this passage than just that. And you're not off the hook. You're far from off the hook. It's one thing to repay another person in our hearts or minds, insult for insult, evil for evil. But look what he says. "But always, instead of doing that, always seek after that which is good for one another." Whoa. Someone said to Socrates, "May I die if I do not avenge myself on you." And his reply was, "May I die if I fail to make you my friend." Wow. I don't know how many of us are that spiritually mature. I don't know that Socrates was that spiritually mature. But I tell you, this is something I believe God wants our church to hear. And maybe this sermon is just for me. But somehow I believe there are probably other people in this very room, and you have been wronged, and it is eating you up inside, and you are bitter because of it. You're holding on to it. Every time you see this person or see this thing, you're just absolutely infuriated about it. I want you to think with me as a church about the last person who wronged you. I want you to think about them. I don't want you to color in your bulletin and draw a face and all that. I just want you to think about them. Did you do something to get even? No, I should say it this way. Did you try to do something to get even? No, I should say it this way. Did you think thoughts about what if you could get even? And are you still trying? And this morning, I really believe God wants some of us to lay it down. Lay it down. And instead of having the idea of, these people did this to me, I'm just going to cut them off. I'm going to punish them secretly by holding them hostage to what they did. And so what that does, it keeps that inflammation inside your spirit, and you just can't release it. Have you recently posted something on social media? Something negative about someone just to get even? If you don't think I'm correct, today you go on to Facebook. You start reading some posts, just any of them. Just read any of them. And you'll see what I'm talking about, where people have been wronged by a particular something or someone, and there goes the post. And there it is for everybody to see. And that dirty laundry is out there, and some of us are participating in this. This is a wickedness that God calls wicked for us to try and get even with someone and to put it online for the world to see. That is not a healthy Christian and it's not a healthy church. I wonder if you've ever had a boss that you really got even with by not working hard, by not doing your job, by having a foul attitude. I'll show him. I'll show her. And this is the very thing that God is teaching the church, that I don't want you to do it anymore. I want you to lay it down because it is indeed evil in God's sight. I found this article on the web, or this thing on the web this week. I just couldn't believe something like this existed. And I don't want you to write this down. I certainly don't want to give you a temptation. But there is a company, and for a little more than $5, you can get revenge on someone you hate. Here's what it says. Make your world a better place. We don't care who it is. We're on your side, no matter what. No one is above the law or above revenge, so just go for it. This company will send you an anonymous text message. You can even choose when you want the message to be sent. And of course, it's anonymous. There's no way they can tell who sent it. That sounds like a real easy way to get even with somebody. There's something called a nuisance call. I think it costs a little bit more, depending on how many times you want this company to call this person. You know what? I've heard of this, and I've seen this in real life. Some of you have been victims of this, where somebody like a neighbor or other person got real mad at you for something, and they just nuisance called you all the time. Click the phone down. Click the phone down. Some of you, I know one particular family that had to have their phone number changed because of this very thing. And this is the spirit of getting even and getting revenge. There's one that said, anonymous letters. We'll write whatever you want to write. Here's one that says, they can make the text message appear as though it's coming from someone else. There's a greeting card. There's an offensive post. I just can't believe this stuff is out there. I guess I can believe it. But what I'm wanting to call you to is that there is no place for anything like this in a healthy church. And if there's something you're struggling with of turning it loose and forgiving it, I just pray that God will speak to you in this sermon and that you will resist the temptation to fall into this wicked, wicked practice. He says for us here to pursue goodness, not just don't give the insult back, but instead pursue peace with this person or with this situation. Pursue goodness. Go back to Romans chapter 12. And verse 20, there's a twofold response to this. When we respond to the Lord and we do the right thing. Listen to what they say again, what he says again in verse 20. He says, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Oh, yeah? That's pretty tough to do. You want to take a cake or a pie or a loaf of bread over to that person that just insulted you? Give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Here it is. Do not be overcome by evil. Do not let your revenge take over and be overcome by that evil, but overcome evil with good. So, as a result of that, let's talk about some relationships we have in this very room. Let's talk about marriage. That's the closest of relationship. She insulted me. I've got a right to insult her back, don't I? No. What about the situations that we go through in our marriage classes of that statement? I distinctly remember forgetting that. If we could embrace that in our marriages and not shoot back when that person is shooting at us, everybody in this room gets shot at from time to time, right? Is your marriage like mine? It's not perfect. We're a work in progress. But you know what? In these latter days of our marriage, we're shooting back less. I'm not getting shot very much anymore. Not that I was a lot, but everybody gets shot at. And I was very quick to load that gun, and my caliber was a little bigger than her sometimes, and I'd let her have it. That's the thing. And even in marriage relationships, that's a wickedness that God wants us to get rid of. Here's one. What about siblings? I have heard some siblings hold grudges for a lifetime, refusing to forgive. And God doesn't even say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if what they did was a number 9, then well, you may not need to forgive them. No, He doesn't even give any qualification for what's being done. He simply says, don't return evil for evil. And if you have a sibling that you haven't spoken to for years and years and years because you're holding something against them, that, my friends, is wickedness. It may not feel like wickedness to you. It may not even look like wickedness because we don't know what that person has done. And that's what I've told so many times. Pastor, you just don't understand. I don't have to. I know what God says. And we need not to pursue revenge. What about other Christians? Do we care enough to obey God here when a Christian in our very service offends us? Are we too quick to want to get even with that person or just leave? I don't want to be in the same room with that person, so I'll just leave. That's getting revenge. You think about it. All of these relationships. Here's one. And I bet every person in this room has a story. What about neighbors? You ever had a neighbor that you really went to prayer many, many times? And maybe you even crossed the line of getting some revenge on them. And I'll be upfront and personal. I have done this. And it's absolutely wrong. And it's a wicked response. Now, again, there's a fine line between what is legal and what you can stand on. But when you have the attitude and heart of getting even, I had someone this last week to tell me, hey, Tom, I know how you can get even with this person. I said, I don't want to get even with that person. Well, let me tell you what you could do, because if you did this, I guarantee you, and I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to be fed this type of things. So we've all got neighbor issues. Why can't we just forgive? Ex-church members, ex-wives, ex-husbands, ex-in-laws. How about that one? How about this one? Ex-bosses. Wow. I wonder how healthy we are as a church. Now, I'm going to bring this to a close. We're going to end a little early today. Maybe. Do you know that the whole subject that I've been talking to you about this morning, in verse 15, the whole subject is really a picture of grace? What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor to those who deserve judgment. Don't just give half a definition to the word grace. Unmerited favor. No, finish it. To those who deserve judgment. God has given you His grace, and you don't deserve His grace. You deserve His judgment, His punishment. But He loves you, and His grace has covered you. And as a result of that picture of grace, God blesses us when we favor others who deserve judgment. Go with me back to 1 Peter 3:9, and I want to read this again. And I want to show you how important this idea is. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. How we do that? How do we have the mental frame of mind to bless a person when they are despitefully using us? How do we do it? Only with God's help. When the Spirit of God makes me so sensitive to this and I can hear His words, leave it. Just leave it and give it to God and bless God and worship God, that is a picture of the very same thing He does for you every day. So, He says, you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And if you want a blessing from the Lord, you start applying this principle in verse 15. You want to be blessed? You want God to have favor with you in the sense of your growth as a Christian? This is what He means here. He says, for the one who desires life in love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. The evil, again, is the getting revenge. You must turn away from it and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Wow. What an incredible picture. So, the conclusion of the matter is, will we satisfy our fleshly craving to get back, to get even? Or will we honor God and say, God, I hear it loud and clear. I'm just going to leave it. And maybe some of us in this room have some work to do. Maybe there's someone, though it may be awkward and it may be something that you may not get a return from, but maybe some of us need to right some of the wrongs that we've done in relationships, thinking that it really doesn't matter. That person said all this about me and I said all this about him. It's even. No, it's not even. You're far in the hole because you've dishonored God. So some of us may need to correct some things. But the one thing for sure that I know I'm going to try to work on is to leave this thing. And not to try and settle the score, but to give it to God, to be a blessing and to give blessing, and to try and learn this incredible command for the church. Now, this is command number 10. We have 12 more. By the time we get to the end of these 22 commands, we're going to have a written examination. No, but I certainly do appreciate you following and keeping up and allowing us to take our time walking through these principles. Please know this is God's Word. And this is God's Word directed to us. What we can do in this very room is take this Word to our hearts and say, Lord, with Your help and Your strength, I'm not going to do this anymore. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will make me, will give me the sense of, instead of just shooting back, that I'll just be quiet and I'll trust God and honor God. As we listen to this quiet music, I want to say to you this morning that Jesus loves you and He wants to save you. And His plan for you is to follow Him. He knows that the very heart and soul of how we were created was to be in His image. And the things He wants to save us, and then He wants to for us to walk the Christian walk through our lives from start to finish. And for the church to be an example of all of these principles, what a healthy body it would be. And maybe God needs to do some work in hearts. But this morning, if you haven't opened your heart to Jesus, you haven't placed your faith, if you haven't repented of your sins and placed your faith in Him, why not do that right now? The quietness of these moments, surrender. And then, as we pray silently, ask God to show you what you need to do as a result of what you've heard this morning to honor Him.